Our text today is from Luke chapter 11, from our gospel reading that began this way. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And today we also learn about prayer. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we know the Lord's Prayer. We pray it every Sunday. In fact, if you go ahead and pull out your Lutheran service book, and you look through all those services at the beginning, not just the divine services, but even matins and vespers and compline, and even those we don't use, like evening prayer, you'll find that the service changes. That sometimes there's an invocation and a confession of sins, and sometimes there aren't. That there might always be readings, but which ones they are changes depending on the service. That surely we get to pick the hymns, and they change every week. But some words that we say, pretty much almost the only words we say every Sunday that don't change, are the Lord's Prayer. We know that. We have a different sermon, different hymns, but always that same Lord's Prayer. We know the Lord's Prayer. And it's not just Lutherans in the Lutheran service book. You can go to almost any denomination, say if you have to go to a wedding or a funeral, even if it's one that doesn't have a whole bunch of truth in what they teach. And they'll have the Lord's Prayer. We can put it in at a baccalaureate service. We can go ahead and say it before a meal. We can say it at a wedding. And even the guests from places like California or New York, they won't bat an eye. They'll say it with you. We know the Lord's Prayer. So when one of Jesus' disciples says, Lord, teach us to pray, and Jesus tells them that when you pray, say, Father, and he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, we're ready to put the banner up, mission accomplished, and move on. And we know the Lord's Prayer. We know it so well that we're often ready to recite it rather than pray it. And if we have reached that point, we're ready to move on with a quick recitation and go on. Maybe we should slow down. Maybe it's time to slow down and say with that disciple, Lord, teach us to pray. Because he does. He says, when you pray, say, and he begins with Father. Or, like we say it normally, our Father who art in heaven. He tells us to talk to the God of the universe, the one who created not just you and me, though certainly you and me, but even the planets and the solar system and the galaxies, and who still holds them in his hand, and to call him Father. And we can take two things from that. At least two. We'll take two from it today. One is that we're God's children. That we're family. We can approach him on the basis of being family. Not as a business partner that we need to barter with or trade with. But instead, as Luther tells us, we approach him as dear children. Go to their dear father. We can know that he'll hear us, because even as parents, we know, especially when dealing with children, that perhaps their heart, their attitude, matters far more even than their words when they approach us. That it's not just about show or speeches, and if it is, that maybe there's something already wrong. Because it should have been based on relationship. The second thing that we can learn from calling God Father, because He is our Father, is that good comes from Him. In the land of Israel and in the Near East, the Father had everything. You might remember the parable of the prodigal son, where the older son felt that he couldn't even have one young goat for himself because it all belonged to the Father. Everything. All that was good was wrapped up in the Father, and the younger son showed it all the more. When he asked for something he shouldn't have asked for, but he knew there was only one who could give it, when he asked his Father for the inheritance, there was nowhere else to go for any good thing. Well, so it is with our Heavenly Father. The one to whom we can offer nothing. The one from whom we need to ask everything as His dearly loved children. We do trust Him because of our relationship with Him, but we trust Him more than that. We also trust Him the same way I trusted the pilot of the airplane to get me to Tampa last week. That pilot, since he was the one flying the plane, there was really nobody else I could trust to get me there. And what's more, he knew what he was doing in getting me there a lot better than I would have known how to tell him how to get me there. Our Father cares for us as a Father, and our Father has all of our good in His hands. So it is with God. And he goes on, "Hallowed be thy name." God is different. Our Father is different and entirely trustworthy in everything. He is set apart above and beyond creation, the beginning and the end. He's also set apart in His love and care for us. His name is holy because He is love. Because He is power and authority. He is all things for us. And so we hallow His name with the holiness, that set apartness that it has. On earth, we might treat our fathers and our mothers with special care, not only because they're special, but especially because they are special to us. How much more with the God who made us, the God who redeems us, the God who continues to take care of us, who pours His love out for us. So we trust. We trust that His hand is on us, and we pray for His kingdom, for His rule. Not just in name. Not just in passing. We don't want His kingdom to come just in name, but especially to be living among us. Because since He's the source of good, we have nowhere else to look for any good thing. And we'll continue then. On this point, with the story of the man, the parable Jesus tells, of the man whose guest came at midnight, who went to his friend and said, "Give me 3 loaves, for a guest has come, and I have nothing to set before him." And the response is not, "Friend," is not, "Don't bother me, for the door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." No, but because of the man's boldness or his impudence, he will receive all he needs. And we often look at the one who's in bed and say, God is eager to give us, and he'll give us everything. And that's our encouragement. But I ask you also to look today at the man who is desperate for bread, who has a guest with him, that he has no way to feed, and he doesn't pitter around in the kitchen, and he doesn't look to say, is it possible I could make something else? And he doesn't go looking through the trash to see if there's something I can salvage. He's desperate. That's why he goes late at night to his neighbor. He sees his need. And he goes to his neighbor because there's nowhere else he can go to get bread. That's what God tells us about him. Not just that he wants to give, though he does, but that we have nowhere else to go. When you pray, and especially when you pray the Lord's Prayer, see your need. You need God's name to cover you. Because without it, you're undressed. You need his name to cover you and his righteousness. You're dead and unclothed in your sin. You need God to come to you with his kingdom and make you alive. When we continue through it, we find we can't even get our daily bread. We can't even make rain fall on our crops. But God does more than that. He can also make forgiveness rain down on your life. So come to the one who can help. Trust in your Father and pray to him. Pray especially, as he wraps it up, pray especially for his Spirit given through Jesus, given through Christ, the Son. Because God was so eager to give his Spirit and life that he gave his own Son, that his Spirit would come to give life through Christ. Our Lord teaches us to pray. And when we teach a youngster to pray, we tell them, fold your hands and close your eyes. And yet so often when we pray, we leave our eyes open and our hands doing our work. And this is okay. This is praying continuously. But often as we do this, it teaches us to pray. Help me, Lord, with what I do. And put the focus on what I do, and not on what God does for me. And when we do that, even our prayers become sin. So learn from the young ones today. Fold your hands and close your eyes, that the Spirit, through the eyes of faith, can show you the Father. Our Lord taught us to pray. Father, hallowed is your name, your kingdom come. Trust him. Pray earnestly. Remain in prayer. For your Father loves his children. He loves you as children. And he brings his kingdom for your good. Amen.